Entering into West Dallas at an early age, it was frightening. Any and everything that could go wrong was going wrong in West Dallas at that time. One of the worst places that one would live in America. And so I wanted to get away from it, vowed never to come back to it.
But God tapped him on the shoulder and said, I want you back.
My father wrote a letter saying, good news, we have moved out of the housing projects. I was excited till I came back to Dallas and found out that he moved three blocks from the housing projects. And I said to Aletha, here we go, those people in West Dallas, see, they'll never straighten out. And she said, honey, I can't believe you're saying that.
I knew what God could do.
My father just really believed that the Lord was going to change West Dallas. And he said to me, son, you never run from anything. You stay and fix it up. And he would say, a church is going to make the difference.
Now, Orville had a dream to build a gymnasium.
We let all the schools and everyone know that we're Arvin and Aletha Wilson. We're here to serve you. How can we serve you?
And from there, Orville used that facility to convert so many drug users and so many gang bosses.
And so we built the church around that with primary knowing that it was going to be the gospel that transformed the hearts.
The whole outlook of this community just got flipped over completely.
Orville never wavered in his vision that God had given him for what he could do here in West Dallas.
And all the praises and all the glory goes to the Lord. We were just his vessel to accomplish what he has called us to do, and we're not done doing that yet.
What do you do after 30 years? I'm just as strong now as I was back then. Give me that mountain.
At this point in Orville's life, he wants to finish the vision that God has given him with a project that's called the Shalom Project.
One of the things in West Dallas that still needs to be done is the bringing together of all the churches into one body.
The word Shalom means peace. We seek the peace for West Dallas, and one of the ways we can do it is through churches coming together. You think about how we started in 82 and how a group of churches came together and said, we believe in what you're trying to do. How can we help? What more can you do to a community when you bring in more churches?
Coming together, you know, working for the sole purpose of winning souls.
In a way that's never been done before. We want to support Orville and Aletha for the next 3 years to help him finish strong.
Aletha and I have seen God work in such a supernatural way in West Dallas. We started with the church, and we're going to finish with the church. Good morning. I'm excited to be here, especially when I notice one of the things about the prayer for July. The prayer guide is praying for the military people. I want you to know that I was part of the greatest portion of the military. You probably know already what that organization is. It's the organization that look for a few good men. You know, it's the United States Marine Corps. But it is good to be with you. I want to share from my heart what God has laid on me through His Holy Spirit of how God used actually my wife to touch my heart to go back to a community that I grew up in. In 1964, 65, when I graduated from L.G. Pinkston High School, I had a choice to, well, in 64, I had a choice to sign up to go to a college that would eventually win the national championship. They beat Kentucky. But I chose the Marine Corps because the person told me, listen, if you join the Marine Corps, this is what will happen. You can travel anywhere you want to go. We will pay you honestly. And we would dress you nice. What more could a person want? Not only did they dress me nice, I found a wife. Yes, entered the Marine Corps in 65, and everyone in the community knew that I had stated, once I leave here, I'm out. Never coming back. Dad, I will save up enough money for you to buy a home outside of West Dallas. Well, you heard on the video what he did. He just brought a home about two blocks from the house and projects. My dad always believed, we moved to West Dallas in 49. My dad always believed that the Lord was going to change that community. He just believed it. He would walk, he would pray over that whole community. He would seek God's face and God's blessing upon the community. So we as young people used to say, Father Wilson been in the communion juice too long. He think God going to change this community. However, God used his prayers and my wife Elitha. I met Elitha in July of 1968. July the 3rd, I met her at a dance at the Casa Blanca. Believe it or not, in South Carolina, that was the Casa Blanca. And I met her July the 3rd. She asked me, was I married? And I said, no, but I would like to marry someone like you. And I said, are you coming back for the 4th of July dance? She says, yes, I'll be back. I said, I'll see you then. She came back July the 4th to the dance. I said to her, you know what? You're the type of lady that I want to marry. I don't know why. All I know is when I was a child, I accepted the Lord early through the child evangelism at in the housing projects, but no one deciphered me. But I also prayed early for the type of person I wanted. I didn't know all the nuts and bolts of how the Holy Spirit was working it out, but he brought Elitha and I together. I proposed to her July the 4th, 1968. You are the person that I want to marry. But I'm not ready to marry yet. But if I was, you would be the person. And so, in order that I won't lose you, I'm going to take you home to meet my family. And after that, we will get married. So that was July the 4th. She came to Dallas in September 68, and we married in December 68. God in his own unique way brought us together. You see, when we came back to Dallas in 73, and that's a whole other divine intervention by the Lord. My sisters was praying for me that I would get out of the Marine Corps and return to Dallas. Now, the way God answered that prayer, now, you got to understand, I was in the Marine Corps, so I knew what happy hours and all those other hours were. And so one night I was driving my vehicle, minding my own business. And I went to put on, this is how long it's been, I went to put on my 8-track tape. James Brown, Get on the Good Foot. And just as the song said, get faster, people, get faster. Somehow, now I still don't know until today how it happened. On Highway 17, I fell out of my car. And I saw my taillights going down the street. It was in the evening. It was at night. I had been out. And so I got up and I went down. I turned my lights off. Got back up on the highway. A car stopped. Man, what happened to you? You're a bloody mess. I said, I fell out of my car. He says, oh, come on. I said, really? I fell out of my car. I said, could you take me to the base? I live on base. He says, sure. So he carried me to the base. My wife gently washed all the blood off of me. The next day, I went to the division surgeon, and I had cracked my pelvis. So I had to come home on temporary disability. I came home on temporary disability in 73, we started fellowshipping at Community Bible Church. My wife is like this. So when we started fellowshipping at Community Bible Church, she committed her life to the Lord right away. I committed my life to the Lord again, but not right away. I still had Saturday night fever. And so my wife began to pray for me. She says, Lord, this is what I want you to do. And she got some, this is why it's so important to pray. She got some of the women at the church to pray that the Lord would change my taste buds. Some of my friends were I.W. Harper, Jim Beams, and you know the rest of those guys. And that he would make me see a little different when I look at women. The Lord did both. He took away the taste buds for alcohol, and I began to focus on he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And I began to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And it's been amazing what God has done since that time. However, I did not want to go back to West Dallas. And you saw, I talked about West Dallas. I told her that those people would never straighten up. She says, honey, I can't believe you're saying that. She says, listen, your family's still out there. Some of your friends are still there. And your drinking buddies are still there. Why don't we go? I said, okay, we'll go for the summer. I was attending Dallas Bible College. I said, we'll go for the summer. And then, you know, after the summer's over, we'll do our own thing. And so we went for the summer. It was amazing how people was responding to us sharing the gospel. And so it led to a Bible study. The Bible study led to the church, West Dallas Community Church. And one of the things that I like the Jeremiah, when he talks about it in Jeremiah 17, he talks about how the heart is deceitful and who can know it. And the Lord knows the heart. The Lord understands the heart. And when you open your heart up wide to the Lord, it is amazing how the Lord can take control of it when you allow him to take control of the heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Aletha and I began to work through our relationship with people in the community, one of the ladies said to me, why can't we have a church in West Dallas like the church you attend in Oak Cliff? And I said, okay, let's pray that the Lord would start a church in the housing project. And we began to pray. I went to Dallas Theological Seminary, talked to some professors about the possibilities of starting the church in West Dallas. Well, back then, no one wanted to come to West Dallas. And one of the professors said, why don't you start and maybe the Lord will send someone. So in 82, we started and I'm still there. So, but you know, during that time, Jeremiah 29, and it's very appropriate to what God's timing is great. You know, when I look at July, the prayer guide, and then Jeremiah 29:4, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I carry you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prosper, you too will prosper. You know, and so we learned how important it was to serve the Lord in the city. We began to put into practice, like I said, my dad prayed for all of West Dallas. And to our very, very, very surprise, the very place that he pointed out that a church would be to have an impact on the community before I went into the ministry is the location where we are. Now, understand God's divine providence. There was a group that heard about what we was doing in West Dallas, and one church got one of their seminary students to become my friend and pick my brains about, and he didn't have too much to pick, but anyway, he picked it, of what the Lord was saying to me about the community. I shared with Gary Barnes. Gary Barnes went back, shared with his church. His church put together a West Dallas Steering Committee, And out of that, there were suburban churches and urban churches working together. There were 9 churches. And we sat around and talked about how God could have an impact on the West Dallas community. And out of it, we began to do some amazing things. Everything that you see when you come out to visit West Dallas, where the late West housing projects were, and everything that you see going on in West Dallas now, it's because of prayer. The building that I accepted the Lord in back when I was a kid, but then grew in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the only building that's left from the old projects. That building is dedicated in memory of my dad, because everybody in the community know what he said the community was going to look like. It's dedicated in memory of my dad, who saw things as they would be before they were. So if you go out to a place called Mercy Street, you will find 4 different ministries in that building. That is the building where I accepted the Lord. That is the building where Elita started her Good News Club. That is the building where some of our first people who came to know Christ had their Bible study. Now, what's interesting about that is after we started doing the Good News Club, one of the people working for HUD, who was the manager of Edgar Ward Housing Development, where Mercy Street is now, said to my wife and I can't understand it. It's summertime. These kids are up waiting on the doors to open at 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't see anything but cookies and punch. So what is it that is attracting these young kids? My wife said, the good news. He said, well, what's the good news? And she said, you know, the Lord came into the world to save sinners. And so he says, I tell you what, Arva. Now, I don't believe in all that, but I'm on the resident council. And I would like for you to start a Bible study for the resident council. Now, I come because I oversee it. He says, so would you do that? I said, yes. He says, well, what book of the Bible will you start from? I says, Romans. What better book to start from? Let me tell you, that was in 84. That person is the head, the one that didn't believe in all that. He's our head elder at our church. Wow. Been the head elder for some time. You know, so what I'm saying to you, when you really open up your heart wide for the city, no matter the circumstances that you're going through, these people weren't happy, by the way. They was in captivity. And the Lord says, despite your circumstances, pray for me. Pray to me, rather. I know the plans I have for you. They're plans to prosper you, not to hurt you. When you seek me, you will find me when you do it with all your heart. Listen, no matter the circumstances that you face now, God is a God of peace. In the midst of the storm, that whatever you're going through right now, pray for the city, but also pray for the family. Trust the Lord to do the rest. When, you don't mind if I don't do just exactly what I have written down? Because the Holy Spirit do change things, right? So let me speak from the heart. Yes, God has done a lot of things in the community of West Dallas because of prayer. But in the midst of it, there are so many of us during that time and still are going through so many different things. You know, when they told me that I was in early dementia, I said, oh my, down go my brain. I said, okay, that means, Lord, I'm going to have to stop doing a lot of stuff because I'm losing it. He says, no, you're not losing it. And the Lord talks, you know, through the Holy Spirit. You're not losing it. I just want it. Abba, give it to me. Let me hold it. And it's been amazing, the peace that passes all understanding that has come upon us as we minister in West Dallas. It has not been easy. You know, take for example, it is what we have this thing about numbers. So when different people come from outside to see what's happening in West Dallas, they say, "Oh, that's great. Man, you and your church are on fire for the Lord. How many members you have?" That's the next question. How many? So about 120, 126. What? And y'all doing all this? I said, "Oh, you count the local body in this building." When I think about the body at work in West Dallas, it's the body of Christ. So it's more than just the 120. I said, by the way, it was only 120 in the upper room. you have to enjoy. You have to enjoy the circumstances that you're going through, because you know that there's absolutely nothing that can touch you unless it's by God's divine permission. And sometimes he knows how to prune us in order to bring us closer to him. And he knew that when I was young, there was some students in West Dallas that they put in this special group. We were supposed to be the smart kids, so they was going to follow us from Sequoia to junior high school all the way through high school and then track us through college and then find out the results. One of my classmates just wrote a book on West Dallas. And in that book, she talks about that. And she says, isn't it amazing how they was tracking us, trying to see what colleges and things like that we would attend. And half of us didn't go to college. The others, some of us are in jail. She says, but the ones that were sensitive to the Lord, have you ever looked around and see that we can see God doing some interesting things? I didn't tell you this. I need to tell you. When I was probably in the sixth grade, my mom had low blood pressure, and the doctor put on Morgan David wine, and that became part of who she was. My mom was the Help before the Help movie came out. She worked on Inwood. But she would help herself to the cellar of wine. And then she would come home. And she could stop all the traffic on the old Hampton Bridge. And because my mom, like I said, people knew us. Even the police knew us. Because mom could cut a hi-fi up. Now, y'all don't know what a hi-fi is. She could cut it up so loud that they would come to say, Mrs. Wilson, please turn it down. Well, by the time I hit the sixth and seventh and eighth grade, I couldn't do too much studying because the hi-fi was on. Mom was in the wind. She was, yeah. And I said, Dad, do something. My dad says, you know what? He said, don't look at her now. Think about who she was when she was doing the Bible studies with you and what she will be when God get through with her. That's what my dad told us. My mom lost all of that taste for that alcohol. And she began to bring glory to the Lord. My father really believed that the Lord was so powerful that he could do anything that he wanted to. And he, when you look at the book of Jeremiah, he says, settle down, build houses. I know the plan I have for you. Yes, God has done a lot of unique things in West Dallas. It is amazing. And you know what's really interesting? Is that I get an opportunity when I go to different places that you're not supposed to mention God. And they say, well, Arva, tell us how have you been able to accomplish this? And I say, you know, I know this may offend you, but I got to give glory to the Lord. The hand of the Lord has took people's heart and he turned it just like it does kings to our favor. In the midst of what you're going through, When you release yourself and your problems to the Lord, it is amazing what God can do. If you saw some of those pictures of what West Dallas was, you drive through there now and you see West Dallas, you say, that's not humanly possible. You're right. It's God. It's God. And we are not ashamed of the gospel. You know, the scripture says the eyes of the Lord roam through and fro, looking for someone whom he can show himself strong in, 2 Chronicles 16:9. I want to be fully committed with my heart in tune with God, because as the eyes of the Lord is roaming through and forth, seeking someone whom he can show himself strong in, there's another person, there's another one too, that's roaming throughout the earth seeking whom he can devour. And so, got the Lord roaming through and forth looking for someone who he can show himself strong in. You got Satan roaming through and forth seeking someone to devour. I know that if I place my trust in the Lord, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to lift up a standard. We have found favor with the government. We've been invited to pray, you know, at the West Wing. It's not because we are important. It's because of the Lord has opened a door for your effectual service. Paul says, but there are many who oppose me. Let me tell you, the Shalom Project is not just a project. It's taken from the scripture. I believe that the Lord can take the body of Christ across all racial barriers and bridge the gap. When they was building Capitano Bridge, they were calling it the bridge to nowhere. I say, it's bridging the gap. You think about this. I get excited and somebody tell me how much time I got. 2 minutes? Okay. I get excited, so when people talk about bridge to nowhere, bridging the gap and stuff, I think totally different. They say it's the Trinity, Trinity Grove. When I think of Trinity Grove, I think of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at work. When I think about fish trap, yeah, I think about God is making us fishers of men. And so fish trap used to be one of the worst streets in the community. Guess what sets on fish trap in Goldman? West Dallas Community School and West Dallas Community Church. When I think of the goodness of God, I think about the body of Christ at work in such a supernatural way that people come to see the change that God has made in West Dallas. And when you don't mind who get the credit, it's amazing what God can do. Elitha and I enjoy ourselves. We enjoy who we are because of we know that God is changing the community. There's a scripture I got here in my old, this is what I call my walking testimony. I mean, it goes all the way back and all type of pictures in it. But at the front of it, it has verses to live by. Psalm 16, Lord, you have signed me my portion in my cup. Psalm 16:5. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines has fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counseled me. Even at night, my heart instruct me. And this is the key here. This is the verse where Elitha and I find our greatest joy. I have set the Lord sometime before me. No, it doesn't say that. I have set the Lord always before me. And listen at this. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. That is the peace that we have. Listen, my son, bless his heart, when he was younger, a friend gave him a Mustang, almost a brand new Mustang, because my son had led his friend to the Lord at an all-night thing that Word of Life used to do with the Mavericks. And so this young man was so happy, his dad got him a truck and he gave my son the Mustang. Well, my son, you know, he, back then that rap music was really going, and it tell you verbally, you know, what to do. So one day I pull up to my home. Marcus was about 16 or 17, and it was boom, 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 boom. And then this to the police and that to the police. I said, Marcus, excuse me, what are you doing? He says, oh, Dad, that's okay. He says, I'm just learning what's going on in the world. I said, not at this address here. No, you're not. I tell you what, you need to get you some keys in an apartment, because we're not going to have that in this community. He says, well, Dad, you know, I'm just trying to learn what's going on in the world. I said, okay, God will show you what's going on in the world. This is in March. The year that I'm talking was in March, and I had March Madness, you know, the basketball games. And so I was watching the basketball games, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, turn off the TV and pray for your family. Are you sure? I was like the guy in Cool Hand Luke. Are you sure? You know, but I did what was requested. I went in and told Elitha. The Lord gave me a scripture, and I read it to her. Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your great shield and protector. And I told Elitha, I don't know why, but that. So I turned the TV off. I'm praying for the Lord to form a hedge around our family. 10 minutes later, my son comes home. Dad, need to call the police. I said, what happened, Marcus? Somebody tried to carjack me. I said, where? He says, on Walton Walker, right across from my own forces. I said, wait a minute, that's a lot of traffic. He says, what happened? He said, they pull up, they says, nice car. They turn around, looked at me in their car, and I put mine in reverse, and they start shooting. I said, oh. I said, well, call the police. I got to go to a Bible study tomorrow morning. I get up the next morning. I go outside. I look at the car. I run back in. What happened? He said, I told you. Somebody tried to carjack me. I said, Marcus, all the windows shut out. All the tires are out. You need to call the insurance company. You know, sometimes we do get materialistic, you know. And so I said, what time did that happen? He told me it was 5 minutes after I was obedient and cut the TV off. Marcus had over 25 bullet holes in the car. No bullets touched him at all, no glass or anything touched him. When they caught a couple of the guys that tried to carjack him, they said, well, how was he managing to keep going when you were firing them? They said, I don't know. He was going one way. We couldn't see him because he was leaning down, and he went up on the highway, and the car turned and went the right direction. My son's life haven't been the same since. One day he came to me as we was going on a father-son retreat, and he says this, Dad, teach me to be a godly man. Now, what if I had been disobedient and not prayed? What if I would say to him, you know, you're never going to change. You're never going to change. You're never going to change. All I'm saying is, if you're going to use this month for praying, start with the family. The enemy wants to destroy the family. The enemy is after the family. I can speak. Our daughter is 22. Her name is Zola. Her mother died at childbirth, and we adopted her because her father was on crack cocaine. Let me tell you, Zola is a different child. Zola, they told her that she was going to have learning difference because of the way she was going to be delivered. And she does. She's in college, but she's a different child. And Zola sometimes can make me flinch. And she will constantly, because of my sickness, she would constantly come in and say, "Dad, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay." You know, what if we had to turn our back on that family because they were all in drugs and not adopted Zola and brought into our household? I close with this example also about how important it is to really understand how you live before your children can affect you. My grandchild, Lee, she's 5. Lee one day was coming from school across the street. And so we have a security lock on the door at the church, and you have to use a bar to get it in, and you swipe it. So Lee says to me, "Papa, let me open the door." I said, "Lee, you don't know how." She said, "No, Dad showed me how to open the door." She says, "Give me your key." So by then I thought, so she thinks it's the key. So she got the key and she looked at the key, but she went straight to the bar and she swiped it. She looked at me because the door didn't come open. And she does it again. Swipe. I said, the security thing must not be working. Lee looked at me and she started singing, "It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer." I said, "Lee, why are you saying that?" She says, "I need the Lord to open this door." So it has been a joy being with you. I probably didn't say what I need to say about the Shalom Project, but it's where a group of churches come together to make a difference in the community. We experienced it early on. Some of the kids that we work with early on now are teachers, lawyers, nurses. My daughter-in-law, who got a, she went through and she ended up getting a master's in education, and she married my son. So, but I pray that you as a church become part of what we're doing in West Dallas to the glory of God. I'm sorry if I didn't communicate what I was supposed to communicate, but I believe it was from my heart what God wanted me to say to you this morning. Amen. Yeah.